Well, it's the fourth of four podcasts we've recorded tonight. I'm already destroyed, but welcome back, everybody, to Hoops HD's continuing 2021-22 preseason coverage. This is the fourth of our four simultaneous podcasts. Way up top, we have the American. Below that, we have the Atlantic 10. We did the Mountain West. This is the West Coast Conference preview. I'm your host, Chad Sherwood, joined by John Titel, Rocco Miller from Bracketeer.org, Matt Zukowski, David Griggs. West Coast Conference, and we've done, this is the 10th conference we've now previewed for the season, and we have yet to discuss the team that I believe is the number one team in the nation. So I think it's about time we got around to the Gonzaga Bulldogs. National runners up. Rocco, let me start with you. They didn't quite win the championship last year, undefeated going into the championship game. Baylor took it to them in the finals. How about this year?
Well, I mean, this year it's going to be a little bit of a different look. Last year, I think we got comfortable, especially all the times Gonzaga was on the big stage in November and December. You know, they had that game out in Iowa where they in South Dakota where they pounded Iowa. They pounded Virginia down in Texas. They had those marquee moments and obviously buzzsawed a lot of teams in the tournament. And, of course, the entire WCC. That was an offensive juggernaut. So big changes start at the top, right? So Tommy Lloyd takes off. He's now at Arizona. You got Corey Kispert, one of the best shooters Gonzaga's ever seen in the NBA. Of course, Jalen Suggs, the all-everything freshman, gone. Ayayi, huge glue guy, gone. So now you bring in two highly heralded freshmen. Number one recruit, Chet Holmgren, comes in. 7-1 guy, but not your traditional 7-1. He likes to play outside, shoot threes. He's an incredible defender in the paint. Very, very interesting prospect. Probably we haven't seen a prospect exactly like him. So he's probably reason enough to tune in. Hunter Salas, an incredible wing prospect as well, coming in. And now, and Drew Timmy. Didn't mention him, but obviously we all know what he can do. Certainly an All-American. And most of these teams in WCC cannot keep up with Timmy. They get all these outlet passes, fast break, layup. Done. You're down 20, game's over before it's even halftime. So you're still going to see, I think, quite a bit of that in league play. What I'm curious about is nationally, you know, they'll start the year number one. They're going to play six, maybe even, you know, if you take the Washington game away, which is a home game they should win, five games on neutral courts, big time national competition, but they don't play a true road game. I don't necessarily like that. But the big question mark for me too is Andrew Nembhard. You know, a lot of people are penciling him in as maybe third team All-American, first team All-WCC. I was a little underwhelmed with him at Florida, and he got to kind of back up Suggs and all that last year. Is he ready to run this offense full-time, or will the intriguing Seattle prospect Nolan Hickman take over at some point? That should be pretty fascinating as well. But, yeah, I don't know if it's as bulletproof of a team as last year. I think there's potentially some opportunities where oil would leak here.
Yeah, and you mentioned that schedule. It's, you know, they got Texas at home. You got UCLA, Duke, Alabama, Texas Tech, neutral courts. But you also, yeah. I mean, maybe, John, let me ask you this. Maybe one of the worst schedules I see from Gonzaga, because you also throw in North Alabama, Northern Arizona, Merrimack, Tarleton, Bellarmine, Alcorn State, Dixie State. It's a lot of garbage when you've got to play all that, you know, some of the West Coast Conference garbage you got to play in conference.
I hear you, but I think it's kind of like you can't have your cake and eat it too. Like, I admire them for having all these neutral site games against not just good, but great teams. But you can't expect them to then have the rest of their schedule be against like top 150 teams and have no cupcakes whatsoever. I understand that Gonzaga playing a cupcake doesn't help either the cupcake nor Gonzaga, but like, they have enough meat on the bone at the top of the bone that they can get a little sugar from the cupcake at the bottom of the bone, I think.
It's seven cupcakes. I understand one or two cupcakes. Seven cupcakes when you don't play in a Power Five conference it's something we maybe discuss as we go through the season, especially if
their normal scheduling model in a normal year. I want to say that they try and play, is it five or six bye games? And then all of the rest, they try and get showcase games.
Like I said, it's seven this year. It's a, it, I oh, think okay, it's a little yeah. more than prior years.
Well, and an interesting point on that real quick is they got all of the neutral games on the West Coast this year. So, I mean, multiple Vegas games and Arizona game. But I do think they return a lot of those on the other side of the country next year. They'll play in Birmingham, for example, next year against Alabama.
Yeah. Now, Chad, to your point, I don't think they should play that many. I was just pointing out that they typically do play. It isn't Long Beach State's typical schedule.
Okay.
Out of conference. Yeah.
Matt, any thoughts from you on the Zags?
I'm interested to see how everything's going to mix. Last year, it was like a perfect formula. You had the outside shooter, Suggs and IE getting to the basket. Nembhard can do a little bit of everything, and then Timmy down low. Then, you know, how are the pieces going to mix? Do you miss the Kispert's floor spacing? That's my biggest worry, to where if they're truly the best team or maybe like a 1-2 seed, somewhere like in the 3-8 range nationally. I mean, really, really good. And that's the floor spacing part. That's my biggest question.
Fair enough. John, beyond the Zags in this conference, there's a couple teams that are always up there in BYU and St. Mary's. Let's start with the Gales, who have literally everybody back, I think, from last year.
They do. I like Tommy Cousy. He played high school ball in the great state of Arizona. He had 17 points, 11 assists in their two-point loss to Western Kentucky in the NIT last March. Matthias Tass, the big man from Estonia, he had 13 points in the game. And Coach Randy Bennett has been doing this for over 20 years now, so I like him as a coach. They have three games in Maui, so they get a nice little trip west, even though they're in the West. I don't see them in the tournament, but when you have size and seniors, I like your chances at winning 20 games and being in the discussion.
They were – oh, sorry, go ahead. I was just going to say they were sort of alarmingly – I mean, they finished with a losing record in conference last year, which is not like them at all. All five starters are back. I know that, like, with that experience should come some improvement, but, yeah, I don't see them as the number two team. I don't see them ahead of BYU.
Well, then, man, we should go to BYU. Matt, your thoughts on Mark Pope's team?
I really like this group, and that I think the big is you got Alex Barcelo back, and that if you're going to see a WCC Player of the Year, not on Gonzaga, and I think he might make a push for it, and that you get him back to BYU, and I think another real intriguing player, Caleb Lohner, who a beast on the boards. If the rest of his game develops, he might be BYU's next star after Barcelo graduates, and a guy I think who will fit in nicely when BYU goes to the Big 12. And then you got the well-traveled Tajon Lucas, but he could actually let maybe Barcelo play off the ball a little more. He's a good playmaker. That not a great shooter, but you've got, I think, plenty of other shooting with Barcelo, Spencer Johnson, and then around him. And that's it. I like this BYU team, and they're probably, it might be as good in the backcourt as Gonzaga. They just don't have Gonzaga's front court with Holmgren and Timmy.
Well, Rocco, you got to make up for Matt Harms being gone, and I don't know that Seneca Knight coming in is quite that answer.
Yeah, and I think you know Coach Pope acknowledges that, Chad. I think it's not going to be the same philosophy offensively. You know, obviously they're a much smaller team this year, but they do want to use guys like Lohner the same way they used Elijah Childs a couple of years back, and Olie Childs, and I think the makeup of what Pope has built and the depth of this team, it's just going to wear teams out. Most teams. Now they're going to be competing nationally for, you know, probably top 25, top 20 ish spot. But in this league, they're, to me, clear cut number two. I think when they host Gonzaga, they have a puncher shot at beating them like they usually do. I think it's gonna be a very good team, and they're going to crush the metrics. They've been crushing the metrics for a couple straight years now. They're going to keep doing that.
Okay. So you think their schedule is good enough to crush the metrics?
I do. Yes.
Okay. I mean,
they got Oregon in Portland. They got San Diego State at home. They'll get Utah State, of course. They went out of the way to schedule Missouri State on the road. Very interesting non-conference game. And then they'll get the Holy War as a road game at Utah.
They'll crush Utah.
Oh, and they got a Creighton game in here too. I'm seeing and the Diamond Head. Okay. So
yeah, and they should be better than Creighton, and they'll be favored, I think, to win the Diamond Head.
Okay.
I'm big on this team.
Okay, John. we had a champion come out of this conference, and it was not Gonzaga last year. It was the Pepperdine Waves, CBI champions.
Love the Waves. They finished the regular season last year 11-11. You thought it would have been a disaster. Then they lose to BYU in overtime in the conference tournament, but they did finish on a high note by winning the CBI. You talk about some players on teams that it's impossible to replace. Colby Ross is that player. The only player in Division I history with 2,200 points, 800 assists, 400 rebounds. Oh, by the way, they also lost Kessler Edwards, drafted by Brooklyn in July. Good news, Coach Lorenzo Romar has a very nice class of seniors who all scored in double digits in the CBI title game. Jaudi Smith, Victor Ohia, Obi Oha, somehow I got that right, and Daryl Polk Jr.
Pepperdine's interesting. David, any other teams that interest you in this conference?
One, and I'm more, I'm not as equipped to talk about them as Rocco is, okay. But I really like San Francisco. I kind of think they're going in the right direction. I realized that they were kind of disappointing last year, but with four starters back and with some other pieces, I think that they could, I think that they're going to improve a lot. Like, it was a huge step back last year because prior to that, they'd won at least 20 or more games for 4 or 5 years in a row, I forget which. So last year was kind of a disappointment. I think it's more of a gut feeling than any sort of data I can point to, but I think they're going to be back this year in the 20-plus win range. I don't think they're an NCAA tournament team, but I think that they continue to make improvements.
Rocco, is you right?
Definitely right about the improvements and the overall makeup of the program. You know, Bouye and Shabazz, those two guards, I mean, they've been, I feel like they've been here as long as I've lived in San Francisco, which is 7 years. So maybe not that long, but I love both of them. They're so fun to watch. I think the problem last year was they were too small. They were running around with four guard lineups majority of the time, you know, and I think we've talked about enough on this show that, you know, Coach Golden, he is a, just as big of a nerd ball, if not bigger nerd ball guy than Kyle Smith was. He's all about the data, the analytics, talking about shooting threes, shooting free throws for threes. There's all sorts of unique strategy on this team. But from a roster standpoint, I think they've addressed the paint. You know, they bring in Patrick Toppe from Duke. Masalowski is one of the better big men in the league. Get him from San Diego, inner WCC transfer there. Zane Meeks, a quality contributor from Nevada, comes over, and he might be second, third, fourth guy off the bench. You know, Kunin and Rich Wayne is still there as wing players. Rooney has been a real staple of the team. So I just think this team is deeper. They've addressed the holes. They're gonna play to the metrics, and they're capable of knocking off some really good teams. It's just gonna be a matter of consistency. And then I think the team that gave them the most problems last year, we haven't talked about yet, they got swept by them. They got to be ready for them because I think they're both fighting for third, fourth, and fifth along with St. Mary's. So I'm sure somebody will bring them up next.
Which team are you talking about?
We're talking about the Lions of Loyola.
That's exactly what I thought you were going. I was exactly you called it. But Matt, I got to say, I think Stan Johnson's been doing a great job here at Loyola Marymount, building this team up. Now, you got a 7-3 guy who's gone, so it's a little bit of a hole in the middle to replace this year. But, you know, could this Loyola Marymount team be the third, fourth place team in this conference?
Yeah, I mean, first of all, I think Stan Johnson did a great job year one. As we found out more and more, he was basically the glue that held everything together under Wojo's era at Marquette. And as soon as he gets his head jab, it all collapsed last year, and so did Wojo's job. So, and then he's got Eli Scott back, though. He's a real nice player, like all-conference-level WCC player. So I don't think it doesn't have quite the juice yet to crack the top couple teams, especially the Gonzaga BYU. Probably not St. Mary's just because they returned everyone, and Randy Bennett's a really good coach. But after that, and who knows, maybe sneak into the NIT consideration in that in top four in the league. But, yeah, like I said, I think down the road I could see him eventually getting – Loyola Marymount, maybe especially with BYU leaving, maybe that's he'll get them to fill BYU's void a little bit. But yeah, I think still year two, hopefully just build on year one, be top 100 overall, and then yes, and maybe sneak into the NIT.
John, Herb Sendek at Santa Clara. Is this his final season there? It hasn't gone quite as well as he's hoped, I think.
Good question. I never thought of him as on the hot seat because he's won almost 500 games and been conference coach of the year at Miami, Ohio, and NC State and that school in Tempe. But he's starting year number six, and it's not going so well. So, no, I think that's a good call. I mean, I like Joseph Brankic, the big man, the senior, but I don't think there's a lot of other great pieces around him. So, yeah, I think that's a good call.
David, we've got a couple new head coaches in this conference. Damon Stoudemire, after getting passed up for the job as the Arizona head coach, decided to take an assistant job with the Boston Celtics of the NBA. Leonard Perry coming in to coach Pacific, and Shante Leggins coming in from Eastern Washington to coach at Portland with Terry Porter out.
Yeah, and you know, it's never easy when you're a first-time head coach. It's certainly not easy when you're a first-time head coach in the situation that those three first-time head coaches are in. It's going to be a long and frustrating year.
First-year head coach, yeah. I mean, Leggins is not a first-time head coach. He was very good at Eastern Washington last year.
Yeah, he was fantastic. His old team is a lot better than his new one.
He's got three guys from that team.
Yeah.
San Diego Toreros are also in this conference.
Yes. If I may, on San Diego real quick, and this is specifically directed at Lee Delvecchio, they're nowhere near as good as they were in 2008 when they beat UConn in the first round of the NCAA tournament.
There we go. All right. I guess on that note, let's go ahead and wrap this up here by going through each of you with the same three questions we ask at the end of each of these podcasts. Number one, who's going to win the conference? Let's just skip that. It's Gonzaga. Okay. Let's just go with two questions. How many bids beyond Gonzaga, if any, and any other final thoughts about the league? And Matt, let me start with you.
So I'll say BYU makes it. I think St. Mary's just falls short. Like, again, they'll be in the discussion of first few in or last few in, first few out. I think they just miss out, though. I think they have quite the high-end talent they had in their past teams. No Matthew Dellavedova is in that. So I think, yeah, like two in. I will say, put this way, I won't pick BYU to win the league, but I don't think they're going to be too far behind Gonzaga just because I don't think they dropped too many in conference play either. And on that note, it's going to be a shame when they leave the league. And I think the league takes a step back because it took a little while for BYU to get to their potential, but man, Mark Pope has them there. And as soon as you get that, you've got a little taste of it, but now they're going to the Big 12 and you need someone like a Stan Johnson at LMU, a Todd Golden if he stays at USF. Or even, I think, yeah, Shante Leggins, that was a great hire for Portland. That's probably above their pay grade, what they thought they would get on paper. So they need one of them to take that leap to where if they mitigate the loss of BYU or it becomes a danger of being a 1-2 bid league, depending on what Randy Bennett's doing at St. Mary's. And again, if he stays there long-term.
I actually agree with Matt completely here on BYU and St. Mary's right on that borderline. I don't think anyone else is really close. John, how about you?
I will set the over under at 3.5 and take the under. I think
you're going three, though.
I think San Fran and BYU are legit.
Wow.
We'll see if they are or not, but I believe in them. And St. Mary's is not so far behind, but I think they just lost too much. As far as a fun fact, I'll go back to Pepperdine with Victor Ohia Obioha. He has three siblings. Their names, Goodness, Great, and Miracle.
There we go. Rocco.
Wow. That is, I'm glad we got that in.
I will go with three bids as well. I do, like I mentioned, BYU pretty easily in for me. And I do believe in St. Mary's. I think they didn't lose one player from last year. So yeah, they didn't make the tournament last year, but they bring in one of the most intriguing prospects that they've had in years. And it's Sharunas Marcellonis' son, Augustus, who played at one of the highest levels of European basketball. A lot of people are saying he's the number one recruit in college basketball to come over from Europe this year. And he's just everything I've read about him, he's quick, crafty, super skilled, poised. I don't see how they keep him off the floor. And you mix in guys like Tommy Cousy, who's been there forever. One of the best athletes back, who was injured most of last year. I think that's important to consider when looking at St. Mary's. That's Logan Johnson, an all-conference kind of guy, with Dukas, Fotu, Tass. I mean, it's a very deep team. And if Marcellonis is like half as good as the hype, it could be a really exciting year out here in Moraga. But I will say, I think the top half of the league is very solid. I think LMU and USF are right there. with St. Mary's. My only issue with putting USF in is they got to prove to me they can get over this Loyola Marymount hump. They were completely outplayed against them twice last year. And then Loyola Marymount, I mean, Stan Johnson, unbelievable there. Picked ninth last year, finished fourth, finished top 100 in KenPom in his first year. John Titel and I, we hate first-year head coaches. That's like one of the best first-year pieces of data you can find. They should jump up again. So this is some serious juice in the top five, I think.
And you know what? You just convinced me. I think with that juice of the top five, you convinced me to go with three teams. I would put St. Mary's in as my third team. So, David, you want to finish things off here?
Yeah. You know, Matt made an interesting comment that he didn't think BYU would win the league, but he thought that they would be close. I agree. They're going to be two games behind Gonzaga, the two that they play them against, maybe even three games. Gonzaga runs the table. It's hard to do research on the spot when you don't have any arms like I do. I can't remember Gonzaga's last West Coast Conference loss. I know it wasn't last year. I don't think it was the year before. It has been a long time.
It was a year before up at the Marriott Center. Yeah,
was it? BYU. Yeah. Okay, to BYU.
BYU game, yep.
All right. Yeah, okay, I remember that now.
Much closer to that team than the year after.
Yeah. I still think Gonzaga runs the table again this year. For St. Mary's to get in, they actually do have a few chances at a conference. They're in the Maui, which is not in Maui. It's in Las Vegas. You know, I think they play Colorado State. They play a few other teams. So they're actually like not taking a pass on the out of conference schedule like we've seen them do in a few years and putting so much pressure on themselves to get a win against Gonzaga or BYU or someone like that. Having said that, if they can finish third, and what they got four shots, two against BYU, two against Gonzaga in the regular season. If they can get one of those and hold serve, I could see them being close to the bubble, but I'm still only going with two.
On that note, this has been our West Coast Conference preview. If you're looking for the American, the A-10, or the Mountain West, they're up there, as well as way up there in the season preview tab, all the rest of the all the previews. We're not done yet, though. We will be back next week previewing in a single podcast the other 22 conferences we have not yet covered. They are under the radar preview, one of our favorite previews we do all season. I think we're going to do a preseason bracketology next week as well. So we've got a lot more preseason content to come. But for tonight, at least, on behalf of John Titel and Rocco Miller from Bracketeer.org, Matt Zukowski and David Griggs from wherever the hell he's from, I'm Chad Sherwood. Thanks for joining us. And we'll talk to you again real soon.